How does grieving help us hand over our deepest struggles to God? You're listening to Handing It to Jesus podcast. My name is Matt Tilley, and I'm here with Craig Faust. Hey, Craig.
Good to speak to all you today.
Yeah, this is a hard chapter, but we felt like it is such a vital and important chapter to include in this process because without grieving, and I mean appropriately, intentionally choosing to step into this process of grieving a loss, I don't know if we can very easily surrender to the Lord if we don't give permission to feel the weight of the sadness and the anger and the pain and the suffering. And I don't think often our culture, society, our churches have done a very good job of talking about lamenting, grieving,
right,
wailing, and the power that it can give us in our relationship.
If you consider it that, and maybe your church tradition does do a great job of this, and awesome if it does, it is an expression of trust that you can take some of the most vulnerable and painful experiences to God and have some type of idea that if it's not okay right now, it could be okay in the future as long as God, and as long as you're there with God, rather. Yeah. So we want to do a couple different things just with this overview. Grieving is an emotional journey, and really probably one of the most clear depictions that we see of grieving in the Bible is with the Psalms with David.
Yeah.
And when
he's so real with his emotions there. I love it.
And the thing is, we've stolen this formula from David. Whenever Matt and I were talking about this section, we said that if it's breathed by the word of God, it's good mm-hmm. for us.
Yep. So. Yeah. David is a good resource to steal from. Because he writes so vulnerably, and he's so visceral in his language, and he's so specific, and he suffered. I mean, David went through incredible yes. amounts of loss and pain, some of it by his own hand, and some of it just because of the broken world that he lived in with broken people. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was on the run from Saul. His life was being threatened. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and as a result of that, the consequence was that God took his firstborn child from him and Bathsheba, and he lost his son. One of the greatest pains I think that we can feel in this world is to lose a child. Mm-hmm. He had to grieve one of his other sons trying to take over his throne and pushing him off the throne, and then that son inevitably dying. As a result of the war and battles that ensued. Right. I mean, David suffered. And I think that his Psalms have a good kind of structure and recipe for us to walk through that process of grieving as well.
Right.
But grieving sucks. it is hard. Nobody willingly wants to step into the process mm-hmm. of grieving. And for a while, we all kind of resist it. Not a single one of us even really know the steps very well, especially early on in our life, of how to grieve. Because we were not made for a world where we should know how to grieve. God made our world perfect. There was no reason for us to need to grieve anything. And then sin came into the picture, and it screwed everything up. Mm-hmm. So now that we do have death and disease and destruction, disasters, there's loss and suffering all around us. So we all of us have to learn now how to grieve.
I'm going to make a little edit to that. We are not meant to grieve in isolation here. So the beautiful thing about David is he's turning his grieving to God, right? We're built for that communion.
Mm-hmm.
And so just real quick here, right? So there's this formula that we see in some of the Psalms, this acknowledgement, this complaint, the description of pain, plea for action, expression of trust. And we'll go through all those in a later episode.
Right.
But first thing we want to talk about is, you know, why is it that we would do this? How is this actually going to help with our struggle? Where does this fit in with this process that we're doing? And the thing is that emotionally, like how the body carries emotion. So you got two different systems. You got the system of the brain, right? And you got the system of the body. Those are parallel systems that work together. When an emotional expression comes up, it pops up in the head and it pops up in the body. And usually the way that pops up in a body is these different physical sensations that happen. So what ends up happening is if someone's trying to block any type of emotion, what they'll do is they will override usually how their body is responding by trying to tighten their muscles, or they'll try to kind of like try to stop that emotional expression to try to dull like the manifestation of both the body and the brain.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that whenever we do that, emotion is trying to get us to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And when we block the signal of the do something action,
right,
it can get louder if we don't have another response to it. And mm-hmm. the response of ignoring it is not really a good action.
Right. We kind of get stuck in this physical and mental mm-hmm. system.
Now, that doesn't mean that you always have to do what emotions are telling you to do. In fact, a lot of times you don't want to do what emotions are telling you to do. But having some type of acknowledgement of what the emotion is means that you are admitting to reality and what's happening. So you're mm-hmm. centering yourself in what is actually occurring. You're not denying yourself. You're not pretending something else is happening.
Right.
And that's an important part of grieving. You're acknowledging the emotional impact that's mm-hmm. happening to you, the severity of the situation. And when we can do that, right? So like as you're going through this process, you're going to be grieving the loss of who you are. Who you are is going to die to make room for the person that God has called you to be. And, you know, if you've been around church, you've been around Christians, they probably told you that in some context, and it mm-hmm. maybe sounds a little silly or goofy. And it does, because the way that we may understand ourselves in the world is different than how we are meant to be. We're in a fallen world, and the way that we're asked to operate is different than how we think that we're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And we have to rely on God to be able to guide us, to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
So when there's a discrepancy there, right, we can have an emotional upload, and then the acknowledgement of that allows us to start to interrogate or question or even just organize that mentally. And when mm-hmm. we orient ourselves, we're helping that system in the brain and the body, we're helping them to try to sync up.
Yeah.
And if we can do that and we can walk through that emotional process, then it helps answer that emotional response that's showing
right.
up, and it helps reduce the staying power that it has. And the problem is we may have to go through an emotional process many times, right? My wife does this constantly because there's certain foods that she can't eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she talks about it all the time. She's like, there's this constant grieving, you know, especially yeah. like whenever she couldn't eat bread. Right, there's yeah. this grieving.
Yeah, that's a loss.
Yeah, and the loss that we're talking about here doesn't always have to be a person.
No,
it can be a behavior, a way of life. It could be a yeah. career path. It could be friends. It could be a way of you showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like a personality trait of yours.
Yeah,
you know, like bragging or like being like really like self-assured or being very humorous. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the humor is in detriment to another image of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that there are a lot of different things that we will be grieving. It's a natural process that shows up throughout our life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be what I'd call big ticket items for mm-hmm. like the loss of someone, but it could be a loss of part of us or like a dream that we've had for ourselves
sure.
or any number of things.
Or, you know, the process that we're working through in this workbook, part of what we're asking you to grieve is the way that you have suffered and chosen also at the same time to hold on to this part of you that keeps you from having mm-hmm. a much closer walk with Jesus, a more intimate relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely worth grieving. And I imagine that there's layers underneath that that have contributed to why you have held on to that, that we want to grieve in this section as well.
Absolutely. So, like, and we'll talk a little more about this in the next episode where Matt and I will get a lot more personal about this, but just to kind of give you an idea based on what Matt just shared right there. So, I would have to go through this process of grieving the desire that I have to have some type of financial security in my own power. Mm-hmm. And even like grieve how that might make me feel as a parent, how that might make me feel as an individual in this society. So like there is this grieving of this ideal that I've had in my head that God is helping me see isn't helping me give up the struggle, isn't helping me turn towards God. And so...
Right, that you've chosen unhelpful things for yourself. Yes. That you have almost hurt yourself in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, again, grieving can happen for things that we know are bad for us. Mm-hmm. In fact, often, you know, going through this process, that might be very much the case. Mm-hmm. Right. So like if we know that something's bad for us, you know, so those of you that struggle with substance use or pornography addiction or like whatever it may be, you may know that what the struggle that you're trying to hand over to Jesus is bad. But we have to acknowledge that loss that's there, because if we don't acknowledge the loss, then we're not allowing ourselves to operate on the emotional channel that we're trying to turn and take to God.
Right.
Right. Instead, we're going to feel terrible that we even feel this way, and we'll turn from God. And grieving is about turning to God. It's turning into that emotional experience, handing it to God, turning it to prayer and expression.
And I think, you know, going back to our last section, that there's a consequence of what happens if we don't hand a struggle over to the Lord. There is a consequence of what happens if we don't appropriately grieve and like move through that emotion, move through the process of acknowledging that this is not the way it's supposed to be. And I am broken. I am in shambles and pieces, and I need a savior. I need help in this. There's a reverse process if we don't grieve, if we repress it, if we push it down, if we fight against it, if we resist it, if we build up walls around it so that we don't have to feel potentially the other effects that might sneak in with grieving that we have to like do work with, like shame, for instance.
Yes.
And I think that that consequence can often be what you just described, that we push God out of our lives, because what he threatens to bring in as we grieve is pain. Pain comes with grieving. Mm-hmm. And with that pain also comes healing. I often think of it as, you know, this, the true version of ourselves that is within a stone slab or a slab of marble. And that for our truest self of how God meant us to be, to find its full expression and form, means that God has to take a chisel to us. And part of that grieving process is giving that chisel over to the Lord and saying, carve me, make me into who I truly am. Right. And so it is painful, but the result is glorious.
Yeah. That's an interesting image that you have. I actually have almost the exact opposite image.
Help me understand what you're picturing.
Where we have an idea of who we are to be, and God is pointing out the different things that we think are adding to us that are actually not, and inviting us to hand them over. Right. So like if I'm floating in the water and I got all these life preservers around me, God goes, I think you are looking at those like they're life preservers, but they actually got rocks tied to them. And like you're thinking they're keeping you afloat, but you're kicking really hard. Mm-hmm. And like you just need to let some of those go.
Yeah. And trust that I will hold you and keep you afloat in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like the grieving is going through this process of turning to God and recognizing that we may want to pull away. We may not even want to show or share this with God.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And that is part of the problem. That's part of the thing that's keeping us from handing over our deepest struggles.
Yeah.
But by getting it out there and many times praying and showing and coming to God in the brokenness, it's this continual process of practicing this emotional journey that's good for the mind and body to be able to help let go of some of those things that are keeping us holding on to that struggle.
Right.
Instead, we can let go, trust in God, keep our eyes centered on God, which is it's a tough thing to be able to do, but that's why it's so important. And like I said, if you've never done grieving before or anything, this is probably really confusing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In fact, maybe it sounds really odd. That's okay. We do have these three questions that may kind of give you an idea if you're trying to struggle with, like, okay, well, what loss is going on? And we have these three questions that can kind of help guide you to give you some type of words to describe that. That way that you can go through some of this process that we'll be doing actually this next episode, where Matt and I will go through and answer. And we'll actually go through this like acknowledgement, this complaint, the description of pain, plea for action, expression of trust, to give you a really good idea of what it looks like. And really the purpose of this is to give you a framework for grieving, but you have to understand this is just a framework.
Yeah.
Don't allow it to box you in.
No.
As long as you are continually turning to Jesus in the pain that you're going through,
Amen. You're
giving yourself the reps to do exactly what this entire workbook is intended to do. Right. So if you're going through this and you're like, you know what? It's really hard for me to do the description of pain the way that you've outlined it. Okay. That's all right. Don't let it box you in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Be able to express it and whatever. There's been times in my life where the expression of pain I have was a whimpering, and that was what I could manage there. Yeah. That's okay. Allow yourself. This is just a guide. This is not necessarily, this is not exclusive or anything like that. This is to help you learn to grieve and hopefully to encourage you that this is something that's important. It's something we're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you'll learn over time to actually understand that there is hope in the grieving.
I think that's the only way that we can appropriately mm-hmm. grieve. It's what we're encouraged to do in Scripture when we take on grieving, that we are to grieve, but to grieve as those who have hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think often in our world, we're just encouraged to allow the negative, hard emotions to come in.
Right.
But what hope is there? And for the believer, grieving is encouraged to do because we have to experience mm-hmm. those hard feelings in order to move through them. But the only way that we can truly have full permission to feel the full extent of pain is if we know that on the other side there is something glorious and good, and it's right. not all pain. It's not all destruction. Mm-hmm. It's not all sorrow. And that's what the gospel, the good news, offers to us, that one Absolutely. Day there will be a day when Jesus is wiping away every tear, when there will be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more death. And that is the only hope that I hold on to, so that I can have the full expression of my pain to weep or to cry out in anger and yell over something that is not the way it should be.
Absolutely. And there may be those of you that are grieving and you guys are well-versed in, psychology or anything, right? Matt and I are counselors, so we're familiar with, the stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is those stages are made by people in the world, and they're not shaped by the Word of God. And
right.
the only thing they end in is acceptance for how things are.
Yeah, and reality of that, just brokenness.
Yeah, that falls very short of
what God promises us, right?
The hope that we're ending in. And also even fall, you know, if you just think about the stages of grief, right? Doesn't take very long for you to get to like the bargaining. We're not to bargain with God. We can struggle. We can admit it. We can talk about it. The anger part, you know, is anger actually expressing the emotional depth that we're hoping to show to God? The entire journey that goes through the five stages of grief is something that we look at, and it's good on paper, but we don't see anywhere in scripture where it's happening.
Right.
So again, this is just another expression of trust where it's like, what is it that you're truly believing in? And so give this a try. We'll look through this. Like I said, next episode, Matt, I will actually go through this and give you some examples of what it does look like. And and
there's helpful examples all throughout Scripture, some that are more helpful for that person, some that are less helpful. But we have plenty of examples of grieving throughout Scripture. I love that we see our suffering Savior grieve with his friend Lazarus. And he just weeps. And that's okay. That's good and right. Even though he knew
he
would
be
raising him from the dead, he still weeps for his dead friend. That's a good thing.
You know what? If Jesus did it, that was good enough for me.
Same. So, but we are excited. We are grieved as well as excited. We are privileged to be able to walk through this with you all. And we're not going to cover it all in one, two, three episodes. We will never be able to fully understand all of the depths of grieving and truly what it's like to hand over to Jesus. Again, we've just made a framework. A framework does not bring healing. Jesus is the one who actually brings healing through the process. We're just trying to be a guide. As much as we can be with our limited understanding. And we hope that you can find it helpful because we have found help from this as well. But we love you. We look forward to speaking to this next episode. We will see you next time. Take care. Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, and this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want, and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that, like, little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. immediately go to the donation, and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really helped me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.